Hey everyone, welcome to another deep dive with us. Today we're going to be looking at King Solomon.
A figure that most people would probably associate with wisdom.
Yeah, exactly. And we're going to be using a lecture by Dr. Robert Van Noy to guide our deep dive today.
You know, it's interesting because his story, it's not just about wisdom. It's about, it's about a lot more than just wisdom.
Yeah. You know, I think a lot of people think of him as like the wise king, and that's the end of the story.
Right. Like he got it all figured out.
Yeah.
But there's so much more to it than that. Like, how do you actually lead with wisdom when you're faced with the temptations of power and wealth and all the things that come with being a king?
Right. And especially someone like Solomon who had so much of it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And that's what I think makes this lecture so relevant for us even today, because it's not just an ancient tale.
Right.
It's a story that speaks to those really fundamental questions about how we navigate the world and how we stay true to ourselves in the midst of all the things that can kind of pull us off course.
Yeah.
So Dr. Van Noy, he kind of starts off the lecture by painting this picture of Solomon at the beginning of his reign.
Okay.
And it's like the perfect start, right? Peace, prosperity, expanding territory.
Sounds amazing.
That's right.
Like the ideal golden age.
Yeah, exactly. And you kind of get this sense that everything's going according to plan.
But then
things start to shift a little bit.
Like what?
Well, one of the first things that Dr. Van Noy points out is this massive military buildup.
Oh, yeah. What's with all the chariots and horses?
Yeah. 1,400 chariots and 12,000 horses. It's a huge army.
It's a lot. Like, that just seems like a lot.
Yeah, especially when you contrast it with the earlier periods of Israelite history. Like, you think about David.
Yeah.
Who really relied more on faith than on military might.
Right, he's going up against Goliath, and he's got...
Yeah, he's got a slingshot.
A slingshot.
And a few stones, right?
Yeah, exactly.
And so there's this real tension that starts to emerge, right? Mm-hmm. Between this idea of trusting in God and relying on your own strength.
So is this like a theme that we see in the Bible? Like, is this something that pops up in other stories as well?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. This idea that true strength lies in trusting God. Hmm. It's a recurring theme throughout the Bible.
Okay.
You know, and I think it's something that we can all relate to in our own lives, right?
Yeah, for sure.
Like, where do we place our trust? Do we rely on our own resources, our strategies, our smarts?
Or do we kind of lean into something bigger than ourselves?
Yeah. It's a big question. And it's one that Solomon seems to be wrestling with in this story.
So where do the guidelines for kingship come into all of this? You mentioned Deuteronomy earlier.
Oh, yeah. So in Deuteronomy, there's this whole section about what a righteous king should and shouldn't do. And one of the specific warnings is against accumulating too much wealth and horses.
Really? Why horses specifically?
Well, Dr. Van Noy points out that horses in that time period were really symbols of military power.
Okay, so it's not like they were worried about kings becoming like horse hoarders or something.
Right, exactly. It was more about the underlying motivation. Like, why are you accumulating all this military might? Is it because you're trusting in God? Or is it because you're feeling insecure and you want to build up your own defenses?
Interesting. So these guidelines were almost like a way to keep a king's heart aligned.
Yeah. To prevent them from straying too far from God and becoming too reliant on worldly means.
I mean, I guess it would be pretty easy to let all that power go to your head.
Right. It's a lot of responsibility.
Yeah.
And it can be tempting to start thinking that you're the one in control.
So Solomon's building up this army. He's got all this wealth.
Mm-hmm.
And then he starts engaging in the arms trade?
That's right. He's not just amassing weapons for himself. He's actually importing horses and chariots from Egypt.
Okay.
And then selling them on to other kingdoms.
It's like he's become this, like an international arms dealer.
Yeah. And it's a bit of a head scratcher, isn't it?
Yeah.
You have this king who's known for his wisdom.
Right.
Engaging in a trade that fuels conflict and violence.
Yeah. It doesn't exactly scream peacemaker, does it?
No, not really.
I wonder why he would do that. I mean, you'd think someone known for peacemaking would be trying to, I don't know,
discourage warfare.
Yeah, exactly. Not make it easier for people to fight.
Right. Well, and the lecture even goes into detail about the prices that Solomon was paying.
Okay, how much are we talking?
He was paying 150 shekels for a horse and 600 for a chariot.
Wow.
Yeah. So you get a sense of just how lucrative this trade was.
So was this purely a strategic business move?
I mean, that's a good question.
Or was there something deeper going on, like maybe a shift in his thinking about power?
Well, that's where things get really interesting.
Okay.
Because Dr. Van Noy, he starts to suggest that maybe Solomon's focus was starting to shift away from serving God.
Okay.
And towards this pursuit of worldly power and pleasure.
Oh. And that this shift eventually led him down a path towards idolatry.
Exactly.
Idolatry, you mean like worshiping other gods?
Yeah.
But that was a big no-no, right? Especially for the king.
Oh, absolutely. It was a direct violation of the covenant with God.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, it's interesting because Dr. Vinoy, he points out this recurring pattern in the Bible
mm-hmm.
where when God's people turn away from him,
yeah,
he allows trials and difficulties to enter their lives.
Not as punishment, but...
Not necessarily as punishment, but as a way to draw them back.
Okay.
It's like he's saying, hey,
yeah,
I see you've wandered off course. Let me nudge you back in the right direction.
So even with all of his wisdom, Solomon wasn't immune to these very human temptations.
No, it seems not.
Wow.
And that's where the story really starts to take a turn.
Okay, so from a kingdom built on wisdom and peace,
mm-hmm.
we're now seeing a potential downfall.
Well, let's not get ahead of ourselves, but we are definitely at a turning point in the story.
Okay, so we've got to...
We got to see where things go from here.
Yeah, exactly. Right. We've got to dive deeper into the story.
Yeah, deeper.
And figure out what happened.
Yeah, what happened to Solomon.
Yeah, what happened to his wisdom.
And how did things go so wrong?
Right. We'll be back in part two to unpack all of that.
Absolutely.
Okay, so we left off with this idea of Solomon kind of shifting away from God.
Right. Starting to rely more on himself and his own resources.
So how did this actually like manifest in his life? What does that actually look like?
One of the key areas that Dr. Vinoy points to is Solomon's marriages.
Okay.
He had a lot of wives.
A lot. Like, how many are we talking?
700 wives.
Oh, my goodness.
And 300 concubines.
Wow. That's a lot of people to keep track of.
Yeah, I can't even imagine.
Yeah, I'm sure his social calendar was pretty booked.
I would think so.
But seriously, why so many wives? Was this just like a personal indulgence thing?
Well, Dr. Vinoy explains that in that time period, royal marriages were often very strategic.
Okay.
They were a way to forge alliances, secure peace treaties, expand your influence.
So it's kind of like a high-stakes game of political chess.
Exactly.
With marriage as the ultimate power move.
Right. And so from a purely political standpoint, it kind of makes sense.
Right.
But here's where it gets interesting.
Okay.
The lecture brings up Deuteronomy again.
Oh, Deuteronomy always seems to come back.
Right. Well, it's a pretty important book.
Yeah, it's full of those guidelines.
Right. Those rules and regulations for how to live a righteous life.
Yeah. Okay.
And one of the things that Deuteronomy specifically cautions against is kings taking many foreign wives.
Really? Why is that?
Well, the warning was that their hearts might be turned away from God.
Oh. So it's not so much about the number of wives.
Right.
It's about who those wives are and the influence they might have.
Exactly. Because when you marry someone from another culture.
Yeah.
They bring with them their own beliefs, their own practices.
Right. And if you're not careful,
mm-hmm.
those things can start to seep into your own life.
Right. It's like this gradual, almost imperceptible shift.
Yeah, I can see that.
And that's precisely what Dr. Vinoy suggests happened with Solomon.
Okay. So his many wives, they started to influence him in a way that pulled him away from God.
Yeah. And Dr. Vinoy, he highlights this word that keeps popping up in the biblical account.
Okay. Which word?
Heart. Like, it emphasizes how Solomon's heart, the core of his being, began to shift under this influence.
So it wasn't just about outward actions.
Right.
It was about a change in his inner state, his motivations.
Okay.
It makes you think about the company we keep, right?
Yeah, for sure.
And how those relationships can shape who we are.
Yeah, they can draw us closer to what we believe in or they can pull us away.
Yeah, it's a powerful thing to think about.
It is. And the consequences of Solomon's divided heart, they were significant.
Like, what happened?
Well, he began to build temples and offer sacrifices to foreign gods.
Oh, wow. So he's not just passively tolerating other faiths.
Right.
He's actively participating in their rituals.
Yeah, he's crossed the line here.
It seems like a pretty bold move considering everything we've been talking about.
It is. And Dr. Vinoy, he really frames this as a pivotal moment.
Like a turning point.
Yeah, turning point. It's a direct violation of God's covenant.
Okay.
A rejection of the very foundation upon which Israel was built.
Okay, so he's turned away from God. He's embraced these other gods.
Yeah. So what happens next? What's God's response to all of this?
Where the lecture explains that God raised up adversaries against Solomon.
Okay, so like enemies.
Yeah. Hadad the Edomite.
Okay.
And Rezin of Damascus. Both powerful figures who challenged Solomon's rule and started to chip away at his kingdom.
Oh, wow. So things are starting to crumble.
Yeah.
So is this like direct punishment from God?
Well, Dr. Vinoy doesn't present it as punishment per se, but rather as a consequence of Solomon's choices.
Okay.
So remember that theme of trust we've been talking about.
Yeah.
When you shift your reliance from God to worldly means,
yeah,
the ground beneath you can become a lot less stable.
Right. So if Solomon had stayed true to God,
mm-hmm,
maybe these adversaries wouldn't have emerged.
Maybe not.
Yeah.
It's impossible to know for sure.
Yeah.
But it's a thought-provoking question.
It is.
Like, it really highlights the connection between our inner state and our outward circumstances.
Now, we've got this tension between the outer trappings of power.
Right. The wealth, the armies, the kingdom. Yeah, all the things that we tend to associate with success.
Yeah.
And then the inner state of the heart.
And that's where Dr. Vinoy introduces this really fascinating concept in the lecture.
Okay, what's the concept?
He calls it Shalem.
Shalem, what does that mean?
It's a Hebrew word.
Okay.
And it essentially means wholeness, completeness, harmony.
Okay.
And it shares the same root word as shalom, which means peace.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah, so it's not just about outward peace.
Right.
It's about this inner peace.
Okay.
This state of being in alignment with yourself and with God.
Okay, so this idea of shalem, it's about having that inner harmony.
Yeah, and what's really fascinating is that shalem is also connected to Solomon's own name.
Wait, really?
Yeah, it's like his name was almost a prophecy of what his reign could have been.
So the king whose reign is marked by all this division and turmoil,
right,
his name is actually rooted in the concept of wholeness and peace.
Yeah, it's kind of ironic, isn't it?
It is.
And Dr. Vinoy, he doesn't think that's a coincidence.
Yeah.
He sees Solomon's name as a reflection of his original purpose.
Okay.
His destiny to establish a kingdom characterized by true peace and wholeness.
So it's almost like Solomon's name became this haunting reminder, yeah, of what could have been.
Of the path he strayed from.
He had the potential for shalem, for wholeness,
mm-hmm,
but he ultimately fell short.
Yeah.
So how do we cultivate that sense of shalem in our own lives?
That's a great question.
Like, how do we make sure our inner state aligns with our outward actions?
Yeah, how do we avoid becoming consumed by those external markers of success?
Right.
At the expense of our spiritual well-being.
Yeah, because it seems like that's what happened to Solomon, right?
It does seem that way.
He got so caught up in the power and the wealth and the prestige that, yeah, he lost sight of what truly mattered.
Right.
Okay, so where do we go from here?
Well, that's what Dr. Vinoy explores in the concluding part of his lecture.
Okay, so in part three,
mm-hmm,
we're going to dive into those lessons from Solomon's experience.
Yeah, and how they apply to our lives today.
Okay, I'm ready for part three. Let's do it.
Sounds good.
Okay, so we've been unpacking this story of King Solomon, right? This incredibly rich story.
Yeah, a story that starts out so promising.
Yeah, he's got all this wisdom, he's building this incredible kingdom, and then things kind of go off the rails a little bit.
Right, he starts to drift away from God, he gets caught up in all the trappings of power.
Yeah, and it ultimately leads to turmoil and division within his kingdom.
Right, so it's a cautionary tale for sure.
It is, but it's also a story that I think has a lot of really valuable lessons for us.
Oh, absolutely.
So what stands out to you as kind of the most significant takeaway from Solomon's journey?
You know, it's hard to choose just one, but I think for me, the theme of trust really resonates.
Okay, trust.
Yeah, the lecture really underscores how Solomon's initial trust in God seems to get overshadowed,
yeah,
by his reliance on material wealth and military strength.
Yeah, it's like he starts to believe that those things are what will ultimately bring him security.
Right, and it's a subtle shift,
yeah,
but it's a profound one.
Yeah, and I think it's something that a lot of us can relate to even today.
Oh, for sure.
Like, where do we place our trust?
Yeah. Are we putting our faith in fleeting things like possessions or status?
Yeah.
Or are we grounding ourselves in something deeper, something more enduring?
Right.
And it's not just about outward actions either.
Yeah, we talked about this idea of shalem, right?
Exactly.
This wholeness, this inner harmony.
Yeah, it's not enough to just go through the motions. You have, yeah, to have that inner alignment as well.
Yeah, so how do we cultivate that?
Well, I think Dr. Vinoy really emphasizes that true peace and wholeness.
Yeah.
That sense of shalem.
Hmm.
It can only be found when our hearts are aligned with God's will.
So it's about more than just following the rules.
Right, it's about cultivating a deep and genuine relationship with God.
It makes me think about the influences that can shape our hearts sometimes without us even realizing it.
Yeah, like with Solomon and his wives.
Yeah, their different beliefs and practices.
Right, it's a reminder that the company we keep, the voices we listen to,
mm-hmm,
the ideas we expose ourselves to,
yeah,
they all have the potential to shape us.
Yeah, so how do we guard against those negative influences, the things that might pull us away from our values?
I think it's about cultivating a spirit of discernment.
Okay.
Really carefully considering the messages we're receiving.
Yeah.
And evaluating whether they align with what we believe.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's also about seeking wisdom from sources that nourish our faith and challenge us to grow.
It's like being intentional about what we feed our minds and our spirits.
Exactly.
And remember, Solomon's story isn't just a cautionary tale.
Right.
It's also a story of redemption.
Yeah. Even though he strayed, even though his kingdom faced turmoil.
Yeah.
The possibility of returning to God, of finding that shalom,
mm-hmm.
it was always there.
Yeah. It's a reminder that we all make mistakes.
Of course.
We all have moments of weakness, but there's always a path back.
Yeah. A chance to realign ourselves.
So what is it they say?
What's that?
Like, everyone's a work in progress.
Yeah.
And I think that's what Solomon's story is all about.
Yeah. It's a reminder that the pursuit of wisdom, of wholeness.
Yeah.
It's a lifelong journey.
Absolutely.
A journey of self-discovery and of seeking alignment with our values. And of course, cultivating that trust that allows us to navigate the world.
Well said. Well, I think that about wraps up our deep dive into the story of King Solomon.
Yeah. I hope you found it insightful.
As always, I encourage you to keep diving deep into these topics.
There's always more to learn.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for joining us, and until next time.